Pray with me. Lord, put to shame all those who breathe defiance and vainly make their might their sole reliance. In mercy, turn to us, the poor and stricken, our hope to quicken. Amen. Our text is the lesson just read. If you walk down the hall of the South Classroom Building and notice the shields of the apostles that hang there, you may be impressed by something. Notice how many of these great saints are not remembered by the instruments of their life, but rather the instruments by which they died: knives, crosses, a saw. And they tell us how, not how they lived for Christ, but rather how they died for his name. These are sober reminders that Christians are called upon often to die for the faith for which their Savior established by his death. But here in this seemingly safe Christian land, martyrdom seems to be a thing of the past. The question, "Are you ready to die for Christ Jesus?" seldom gets a straight answer. Are we really potential martyrs? Jeremiah was a potential martyr in our text. He faces the wrath of his enemies, who hate not only his message, but also want to destroy the tree with its fruit, as our text says. He is not dismayed, as we might be, at the prospect of suffering for the faith, because he knows that God defends his servants. Jeremiah knew that God would defend him, first of all, from the troubles that he knew were coming, the troubles he expected. Jeremiah's biography as a prophet does not read at all like a successful climb up the ecclesiastical ladder. He was hated. He was ignored. He was nearly killed several times. He witnessed the fall of the holy city, Jerusalem, and saw God's people deported and killed. He possibly met a martyr's death himself in Egypt. His life shows clearly that God's servants are always involved in a fight for their lives. We too know that the fight is fierce and the warfare long. As he does to Jeremiah, the Lord has made it known to us where the battle rages. His word shows us what sins we must fight in ourselves and in society. And often we become battle-weary. We say, "How long, O Lord, must I put up with this incompetence? How long, O Lord, am I going to keep failing to keep this commandment?" And in our fatigue, we often make the mistake of turning and trying to defend ourselves. Take, for example, the seminary student who tries to please his family, his professors, his friends, his employer, and himself, all by his own strength. Or take the pastor who is so weary of the apathy of his congregation that all he can keep doing is to lash out with God's law and withhold the gospel from this people. Think of the seminary wife who tries to hold the family together amid all the stress by herself. These are examples of the foolishness and the folly of trying to do things on our own. We will fail. We will be cut off eventually because our own defenses are not enough. But human resources are not what we need to depend on. God is the one who judges righteously. He knows the evil in our hearts, and he provides a defense. He will forgive us in Christ. He will take up our cause as his own and fight for you and with you until the very end. Why fight back with human resources when God's forgiveness, his steadfast love, and his promise of heaven never tire of overcoming our obstacles? But worse than the troubles that we know and expect are those that we do not know are coming. Fear of the unknown can paralyze even the most diligent Christian. Jeremiah says, "And I did not know that they had devised plots against me. These plots take by surprise the parts of our lives in which we place the most confidence or tend to. Let us destroy the tree with its fruit, his enemies say. That is, let us make his witness ineffective and his work for God all futile. What if that happened or appeared to happen? Could you continue? And let us cut him off from the land of the living. That is, let us surround him with the reality of death as he never knew it before and make him want to despair. What if that happened? Could you continue? And that his name be remembered no more, they say. Let us take away all thanks and praise he might receive for his service, and let no one remember that he was even here. What if you got no credit at all for yourself, for your service to the kingdom? Would it be worth it? But that haunting question, what if, need not plague us, for we have God as our defense. There is no fear of failure that can paralyze us when God has had success at the cross and at the empty tomb. There is no inadequacy on our part when we have the honor to be heirs with Christ and share in the riches that never lose their value. There is never a need for despair when God's unbreakable word and his life-giving sacraments pave the way with hope and confidence in him alone. We can have no confidence in what we do, but we can have total confidence if what we do is backed up and bolstered by the divine strength that come in the word and the sacraments. And God defends his servants even unto death. Jeremiah calls himself a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. How can we afford to be gentle in the face of all this terror? Wouldn't a lion be a better image than a lamb for a Christian with the strength of God? Shouldn't we be filled with heavenly courage and stand up and fight like a man in this life or death struggle? What gentle lamb is there that ever accomplished anything? The answer to that is all too obvious. The Lamb of God, the humble, all-sufficient sacrifice, who takes away the sin of the world, was so found in fashion as a man that he suffered even the death of the cross. Christ has our human nature. He knows what the struggle is. He was a man, yet he did not fight like a man. He fought like a God to finally break the stranglehold of sin. We too can be lambs, following the example of Jeremiah and of the Lamb of God. For on the one hand, Christ is more than an example for us. In his sacrificial servitude, he is God with us, God defending us, even in our weakness. And on the other hand, he is more than a victor in a far-off battle. He is exemplified in and through our servitude to the world. As Christ did, we can face the terrors of the world in utter weakness, even to the point of facing death at the hands of angry men, because we, like him and in him, fight with divine power. In Christ, God and man fight together and defend the cause of Jeremiah and all God's servants. Jeremiah's prayer in our text assures us in a way that no other gospel can, that the fear of death is nothing to stop us from living in confidence, no matter what troubles come. God can handle the troubles we know and expect, even though they make us weary. He even defends us from the troubles we do not know are coming, even though they make us afraid. And his sure defense makes it possible for us to die in the quiet of old age or with the violence dealt to a martyr, both with the same calm. A Christian can be sure that God defends him in all things. With God's help in word and sacrament, you need not fear collapse. You need not fear humiliation. You need not fear pain as you serve in the church militant and in the church triumphant. Amen.